remain standing. Hear what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 and then verse 5. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Let's bow and let's pray. God, thank you for this promise that because you are faithful, that you will establish your people and that you will guard your people against the evil one. And Father, I pray that for this congregation. I pray that for each of your people here today. And I thank you for your faithfulness, and because of your faithfulness, you will enable us to be faithful. And I pray, as Paul did here, Lord, that you would direct our hearts to the love of God. Direct our hearts to dwell more and deeply on your great love, God, demonstrated in Christ. And direct our hearts also to the steadfastness of Christ, his faithfulness, his persistence and steadfast obedience to you for our salvation. God, direct our hearts today to the things that strengthen our hearts and to the things that encourage us, and help us, God, to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, it's my pleasure this morning to welcome any of you who may be here as guests today. We're grateful that you are here, if you're here as a guest. And I want to invite you to look for this card on the back of the chair in front of you. It's a connection card, and it's a way that we can know that you were here, and I hope you'll allow us to know that by taking this and giving us information about yourself. And then on the back, there's also a place where you can check my next step is exploring Christianity, baptism, joining a life group, membership, serving other. So use that also to let us know where you are and how we might help you in terms of your spiritual journey. We're very grateful that you're here. After you complete this card, if you'll just hold on to it till the end of the service, and then after the service is over, there's a Connect desk in the foyer, and if you take this to the Connect desk, there'll be someone there to give you a packet of information about our church that hopefully could answer questions you might have. If you have questions, the person there might also be able to help you with specific questions you might have. And then also, they would give you and will give you a small gift as just a small way for us to say we're grateful that you are our guest today. So thank you for being here this morning. In just a couple of moments, we're going to receive an offering, so I'll have our ushers come forward at this time. Let me call your attention in your bulletin this morning to the announcement about our VBS. We have a carnival next Sunday afternoon, and then it begins a week from tomorrow night. I hope you'll be a part of that. You'll bring your kids, and that you'll also invite neighbors, kids maybe that are unchurched that you have connections with, maybe in your neighborhood. This is a great opportunity for us as a church. Let's bow as we prepare to receive this offering. Father, I pray that you would use this offering to build your church, to allow us to serve your people and to serve the nations and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. This time, the children will be dismissed for children's church also.
Sun, moon, and stars. this together. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, and all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing all mine with 10,000 beside. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, and all I have needed, God's hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, and all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Will you give him a hand clap of praise for his faithfulness this morning? Amen.
As you're seated, you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 56. Continue our summer series called The Gospel in the Psalms, and today we come to Psalm 56. Because of man's sin, there's sorrow and there's fear and there's death in the world, and the gospel is the answer to all of these things. And so today, as we come to Psalm 56, if you don't have a Bible with you, there are Bibles under the chairs in front of you that you can use. And you can turn to page 476 in those Bibles and follow along, and invite you and encourage you to do that. Psalm 56. Today we're looking specifically at the gospel and fear. Follow along as I read through this psalm. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime, will they escape? in wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. As we come to Psalm 56 today and think about the gospel and fear, there are several things I want you to see in the psalm that I think are incredibly important and relevant to this issue of fear. The first thing I want you to see at the beginning of the psalm, and really throughout a portion of the psalm, is this: the contrasts described by this psalm. The contrasts described by this psalm. The first one comes immediately as we begin the psalm. Let me help you see it. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples upon me. The first contrast is this: God and man. And really, this is the foundational contrast as we come to this psalm, because everything that this psalm says is really built upon this truth about the contrast that exists between God and man. Several years ago, I read a book by Ed Welch entitled How to Overcome the Fear of Man When People Are Big and God Is Small. And really, that's what this psalm is about. This psalm is about not just knowing in your head, but genuinely believing in your heart that God is big and that people are small. We begin to fear people when we, whatever we say we believe, when we begin to live like people are big and God is small. And the psalmist here is reminding himself, as he's facing fear, he's reminding himself that God is very, very, very big, in contrast to man, who is very, very, very small. And that's the foundation, really, for this psalm, that first contrast, God and man. And we'll see that even more clearly in just a couple of minutes. Here's the second contrast I want you to see in the psalm. Look at the end of verse 9. I love this. This I know, that God is for me. Those two words, for me. And then look at the end of verse 5. All their thoughts, that is, men, people who are threatening David's life, all their thoughts are against me for evil. So let those two phrases help you see this contrast: for me, against me. God, the one who is great, is for me. Man, who is small, is against me. And again, David is reminding himself of what he knows. You know it's important for us to do that, don't you? We need to remind ourselves of what we know. We need to remind ourselves of what we've been taught, of what we say we believe. And I mean, this is elementary church, right? God is big, people are small. God is great, we are not. But we need to remind ourselves of those truths, especially when we are tempted to fear men, when we are tempted to fear what man will say about us or what man will do to us. We need to remind ourselves that God, who is great, is for me, and that man is against me. Now, he doesn't, in the midst of saying all of this, downplay the genuine threat that men are to him at this particular time. Let me show you how he describes these people that he's fearing or tempted to fear in the psalm. Let me help you see how they are against him. Look at the end of verse 1. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. Verse 2, my enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. If you notice carefully, notice tramples in verse 1 and trample in verse 2, and notice attacker in verse 1 and attack in verse 2. Those words are repeated because he's trying to communicate something about the way that these people are against him. Drop down to verse 5. All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. That's the bottom line. These people were literally watching David's every step, looking for any opportunity that they might have to take his life. They were waiting for his life. Verse 7, for their crime, he asks, will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. So let me just say a couple of things about the threat that David was facing at this point as he wrote the psalm. First of all, I think we could say clearly that his enemies were ruthless. He uses, again, the words tramples and trample and attack and attackers. They're hiding in wait. They're lurking and they're waiting for an opportunity to take his life. They're ruthless. And, did you notice? They're relentless. He says three times, all day long. Do you see it? Verse 1, all day long. Verse 2, all day long. Verse 5, all day long. They are ruthless and they are relentless in their desire to destroy him as the king of God's people. So that's how certain men were against King David. But let's notice who they are, because this is an important thing to see as we try to interpret and apply this psalm to you and to me. Verse 2 begins, my enemies. My enemies. Now, why were they David's enemies? I think we see that when we drop down to verse 7, where he says at the end of the verse, in wrath cast down the peoples, O God. That could also be translated the nations. You see, David was the king of God's people, the nation that had been chosen by God to be his people. And these enemies are the peoples. That is, they are the nations beyond Israel. They are not worshipers of God. They are not the people of God. And so they are against David because they don't believe in the true God that David himself believes in and that the nation of Israel represents. And David as the king represents this God. And so they are David's enemies because they are God's enemies, because they worship idols, because they worship false gods. And so we're talking here about those who are not God's people coming against the representative of God's people. So that's how these who are against David are against him. They're ruthless. They're relentless. They are David's enemies. They are the peoples. David's enemies because they're God's enemies. But I want you to see this. Notice verses 8 and 9. And I would encourage you to meditate, if not memorize, meditate on if not memorize these two verses. This is so precious. Think about it. God says to David, you have kept count of my tossings. Do you know what he's talking about there? Have you ever tossed in the bed at night because you can't sleep, because you're anxious, because you're afraid, because you're grieving? That's what he's talking about here. God cares so much. David knows this. God cares so much for his people that he keeps count of our tossings. Every time we turn, every time we toss in the bed because of fear, because of anxiety, God knows. That's how he's communicating here. That God cares for us. He is for us. And then verse 8 continues, put my tears in your bottle. He's not asking here. He's saying you do. He's saying you have done these two things. You've kept count of my tossings, and you have put my tears in your bottle. It's another picture of the fact that our tears, our grief is precious to our God because he is for us. He knows every tear we cry because of fear, because of sorrow, because he is for us. And then he says, are they not in your book? Another way of just reinforcing in a way that we can understand as human beings, God never loses count. He never ceases to be able to account for everything that happens to his people because he's sovereign. And he loves us. He cares for us. And so he counts our tossings and he collects our tears. That's what the Bible means when it says God is for us. And then the last contrast, very quickly, the psalm begins, be gracious to me, O God. And then the end of verse 7, in wrath cast down the peoples, O God. Grace and wrath. Grace and wrath. David seeks grace for himself from God, and he seeks wrath from God on his enemies because they are God's enemies, because they are relentless in their opposition to God's people and to God's will. The second thing I want you to see in this psalm is this, the confidence declared in this psalm. I've said before, and you've heard us say many times as we've gone through psalms last summer and now this summer, working through other psalms this summer, that the psalms were songs that were to be used by God's people, the Jewish people, when they came together for corporate worship. I want you to see the chorus of this psalm, the refrain. We see it first in verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, in whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Then drop down to verses 10 and 11. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Essentially, he's saying here in these refrains, you might say in this psalm, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. It's because he's trusting in God that he knows he won't be afraid. But I want you to notice some things that are important in this chorus of confidence that is repeated in this psalm. First of all, in God I trust. In God I trust. That might sound familiar on our coins. In God we trust. That's where it came from. In God I trust. I trust in him. My confidence is in him. And then he says this, he says it once in the first chorus and twice in the second chorus, whose word I praise, whose word I praise. Now, is it wrong for us to praise God's word? Evidently not. So what does David mean here when he says, your word I praise? Shouldn't we just praise God? Well, how do we know God? The only way we know him is through his word. right? The person of God is revealed in the Word of God, and the promises of God are revealed in the Word of God. So when we praise the Word, we are praising God, because the only way we know Him is through His Word. I think I may have told you guys this before, but I remember seeing a friend begin to drift theologically and having a conversation with him. And as we were talking, at some point in the conversation, he looked to me and he said, "Brent, we worship Jesus, not the Bible." And I said, "The only Jesus I know is the Jesus that I read about and know about through the Bible." You see, you can't separate the two. And that's what the psalmist is teaching us here. In God I trust. Which God? The God whose word I praise, because it reveals His person, it reveals His promises. And that's what I hold on to when I am tempted to be and tend to become afraid. Whose word I praise. I shall not be afraid. What's he doing? Again, he's talking to himself, right? He's telling himself, I will not be afraid because I trust in God. And God is in contrast to man. Notice how these choruses end. What can flesh do to me? What's he doing? He's belittling human beings in terms of contrast to God. God is immortal. God is invincible. We are human beings. No matter how powerful they may be, they're just flesh. They're dust, right? That's what we are. From dust we came, to dust we will return. That's what he's reminding himself of. And then he says, what can man do to me at the end of the second chorus? He's reminding himself of the difference, the contrast between the God that he believes in and that he worships and the people that he is at times tempted to fear. They're just flesh, frail flesh, mere men. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And then finally, this morning I want you to see a third thing, the conclusions drawn from this psalm. I think there are at least three conclusions that we can rightly draw out of this psalm. Because this psalm celebrates and anticipates God's deliverance of David from his enemies and from physical death. Look at the way it ends. I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. The idea is he's made vows to God, asking God for his provision and for his protection, and he's anticipating that he will do that. I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling. That I may walk before God in the light of life. God saved his life, or would save his life. And we know from the story of the Old Testament that again and again, God saved David's life. So here are some conclusions that I want us to think about as we think about our lives. Number one, God will deliver Christians from their enemies and physical death until their purpose on earth is completed. Do you believe that? Do you believe you are immortal and invincible until God's purpose for your life is completed, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ? The Bible makes that clear, so very clear. I remember a long time ago preaching through the book of Acts and doing a sermon toward the end of the book of Acts about Paul being in God's witness protection program. He was a witness to Christ, as we're all called to be, and God didn't protect him from all harm, but God preserved him and delivered him again and again from death. As a matter of fact, I'm amazed when you come to 2 Timothy, and Paul talks about the fact that God delivered him from all of his trials, and then you go back to the book of Acts where what he's talking about is happening, and he's stoned, and he's beaten, and yet he calls it deliverance. Why? Because God delivered him from death. Because His purpose on earth was not complete. He was in God's witness protection program, and so are you if, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're called, as you are called, to be a witness to Him. He is with you, and He will protect you. No harm beyond His will can come to you before your purpose on earth is done. Conclusion number two. And we always have to connect David to Christ, right? As a matter of fact, it's one of the clearest connections in all of Scripture between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so think about this. God did deliver Christ to His enemies and to both physical and spiritual death so that people would be saved by grace through faith from eternal death after physical death. He saved David. He spared David again and again and again from death. But you know what He didn't do? He didn't spare His own son. He delivered him up, Romans 8:32. He that did not spare His own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will He not with Him freely give us all things? If He's given us His son, if He didn't spare His son, He'll give us everything He has promised us, everything that we need for His salvation. God delivered Christ to His enemies and to death so that you and I could ultimately be saved by grace through faith from eternal death after physical death. Notice grace and faith in Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, it begins. That's David seeking grace. That's David seeking grace. And then in the choruses, what does he say? I trust, I will trust in you. Grace, faith. That's how you and I come into a right relationship with God, and that's how we live out this faith, this salvation that we have through Christ. By grace, through faith. And then the final conclusion. God may deliver Christians to their enemies and to physical death for His glory, as they refuse to renounce their faith in the face of death. We see that in church history. We see apostles, we see pastors, we see leaders in the early church under the Romans, tortured, murdered because of their faith. God may allow that for His glory, but He will give us the grace that we need in those moments to glorify Him by not denying Him. Let's finish by turning to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I want you to look with me at a couple of verses here. Matthew 10, 28. Matthew 10, 32. This speaks to what we're talking about here in this final conclusion. Jesus warned His disciples of the possibility of death for His sake. Matthew 10, 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Do you see the contrast? God and man, right here. Don't fear man. Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him, God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 32, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You know, as Americans, we don't think often about this possibility. But it may be that God will call young people out of our church who will take the gospel to the nations. And they may be in places where proclaiming Christ may cost them their lives. Do you believe that God is worthy of that? Do you? It's easy to say yes until maybe one of your kids starts talking about that and thinking about that. But he's worth everything. And for his name to be known, for his name to be proclaimed to the ends of the earth at all cost, is his calling to his church. We may have different roles to play. We may have different parts to play in that, but that's our calling. And as far from possible as we might think it is, it may be that our kids and our grandkids, maybe even right here in the years to come, may have to sacrifice and suffer to be faithful to Christ. It takes the kind of faith that we read about in Psalm 56. The kind of faith that we read about in Psalm 56 is the kind of faith that we must cultivate in ourselves by God's grace through His Word, and that we must cultivate in our children by God's grace through His Word, so that we can glorify Him by not fearing men, but by fearing and loving Him above all else. And because we do that, we trust Him and we glorify Him, even if necessary, by dying for Him. Let's bow. Father, I thank You today for these words in Psalm 56. Remind us who You are in contrast to what we are, and the people that may threaten us, and the people that may even bring harm to us. And Father, help us today to put our trust in You again and again and again, and to rely on and depend on and to seek Your grace to be able to glorify You when we fear, when we're tempted to be afraid. And God, I pray that You would establish Your people, that You would establish us in courage, that You would give us the grace of courage more and more, so that we might be faithful to You should there be persecution, as there certainly will be as we follow You, especially if we follow You where You may lead us, to the ends of the earth. Father, I pray that You would work in this place, in Your people, and that You would establish us. Thank You. Thank You that You are faithful and that You will establish Your people. And I pray for that today. And I pray for those today who are here who've not yet put their faith in Christ as their only hope, as the only Savior of sinful men, the only way that we can be saved from our soul and our body being destroyed in hell. God, that's the awful reality that our sin deserves. And yet You've made a way through Your Son. And I pray today that people would trust in Christ and call on Him and seek His forgiveness and desire to turn from their sins and to follow Him. We praise You, and we pray that You would continue to write Your word on our heart that we've heard today, and help us to remind ourselves of what we know when we're tempted to be afraid. In Jesus' name.